Saturday, July 15th, 2017. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me on RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. You may view the guest lineup for this program at spingola.com. Just click on the radio schedule button and select the year, month, and day. To listen to the archives of this program, select my name in the archives section at RBN. Please also visit and subscribe to spingolaspeaks.net and wallysblog.blogspot.com, where you may also hear the archives. Email questions or comments to comment@spingola.email. Please visit the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. Our guest the first hour today is Dr. Jean Stolzer. She earned her doctorate from the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, in 2002 on the subject of human resources and family science. For the last decade, she has been a professor and researcher at the University of Nebraska, Kearney, where she has authored numerous articles and made academic presentations on her areas of research, which includes the mass labeling and drugging of American infants, children, and adolescents. Dr. Stolzer, welcome to the program. Hello? Do we have Dr. Stolzer?
Yes, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I've been rereading your paper, The Systematic Correlation, and it's pretty scary. Well, it is awful. The paper, but the ideas that you present are just, they make me so sad.
Yes, I've been at the University of Nebraska at Kearney for 15 years, and this has been one of my main areas of study, is the psychiatric drugging and labeling of children and adolescents. And now we're into infants. When I first started in 2002, we didn't have any infants in America being labeled with ADHD or depression. And now, according to some published research, we have 1.7 million children under the age of 3 on full-time psychiatric medications.
That just makes me I just can't believe any parent would do that. I don't know.
It's very, very interesting because I come from the old hippie generation, and our parents were praying every night on their knees, please God, don't let our children get on drugs.
Right.
And now we've flip-flopped so much that now parents are the ones that are actually administering these dangerous and addictive psychiatric drugs to their 2-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 7-year-olds. It's the parents that are handing the drugs to the children with the cornflakes in the morning.
Oh, my gosh. And it has its terrible consequences, as you've talked about in the paper, and you make the relationship between the psych drugs and the mass shootings, and you start by using the situation, the massacre at Columbine, which occurred in 1999, April of 1999. That was, what, April 20th?
Yes, that was.
Yes. That's a relatively short period of time.
Well, it's very interesting. When I was in high school, which was a very long time ago, but I had no classmates, none whatsoever, who were on any psychiatric drugs, nor did I have any in junior high or in grade school. And I think most of us can attest to that no children or adolescents were on any psychiatric drugs. And now we're going way. I mean, this is an epidemic. We're witnessing an epidemic in our country. But here's what baffles me as a scientist. It says right on the insert of those drugs, of the psychiatric drugs, can cause suicidal ideation, homicidal ideation, violent psychoses, hallucinations, unprovoked violence. It says it right on the insert. And so when these young people are taking these drugs, and it's males, let's be honest, are taking these drugs and they go out and they shoot up elementary school, like at Sandy Hook. We say, why did it happen? Or a young male goes into a movie theater and believes he's the Joker and starts shooting strangers. How did this happen? Look at the insert on the drugs that they were taking. And, I mean, it's very clear.
Right. And yet, they keep, they've talked about gun control. They say, oh, we've got to take control of the guns. But I know that after Sandy Hook, there was a lot of people who had never owned guns before who went out and purchased guns. And that, so it has just the opposite effect so on people because they want to protect themselves.
I actually have published research on this area. You're talking about guns. We've looked for probable causes of these unprovoked mass shootings that we're witnessing all across America. And, of course, the anti-gun lobby starts pointing out its guns. Well, the fact of the matter is, since the first white man stepped foot on the shores of this country, we had guns. They had black powder muskets. We've always had guns. What we haven't always had is people, young males, going into public places and shooting up strangers. That's a brand new thing. So if it was guns, we would have been seeing this since the inception of our country, and we haven't. Like I said, when I was in high school, I'd say about 30% of the pickup trucks in the parking lot of my high school had loaded double-barrel shotguns on a gun rack.
Same here. Because they would go skeet shooting afterwards or somewhere. That was just the way it was.
Exactly. And nobody ever brought it in and shot up teachers or fellow students. They just didn't. But then on the other hand, they were not on psychiatric drugs that they were put on when they were 4 years old. So there is a huge difference. The other thing they like to bring up is violent video games. And I hate violent video games. I detest them. But the fact of the matter is, in Australia and Japan, their video games are much, much, much more violent than they are here. Don't let your kids get a hold of Japanese video games. They're not good. But my point is, if violent video games were at the root of all this mass shooting, you would see Australia and Japan exploding in this area. And we're not. We're not. We're not seeing it at all.
Right. Go ahead. And the other correlation is that they don't have the psychiatric drugs in those countries like
exactly.
They do here.
Exactly. So the only factor standing when you look and you peel away the layers are the psychiatric drugs. And yet some people after Sandy Hook and Columbine were calling for a mandatory mental health screening for our children. And that just made me want to pull my hair out as a researcher. Can you not see that that's what's at the root of this?
Right. And as you look at the background of the shooters involved, you find that they were on psych drugs.
Absolutely.
And had been for a long time.
Yes, and people often ask me, why is it males? Why is it males, the young males that are doing this? Well, if you look at how we drug children, we get young males very, very, very early. Not uncommon at all for 2-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 6-year-old little boys to be on psychiatric drugs. We don't get young females until they're about 13, 14, 15 with depression and anxiety. So we leave them alone in infancy, early childhood. We get them at the beginning of adolescence or mid-adolescence, but these boys have been on these drugs a lot, lot longer.
Right. And you also wrote an article, Keeping the Boy in Boyhood, which is very, very good. And boys are going to be boys. They have different makeup. They are just built differently. They're rambunctious. They're supposed to be what they are. And yet, school teachers and daycare workers and others think that this is some sort of an affliction that they need to be drugged for.
Well, we have to back up to the very beginning of why. The perception of our school teachers and daycare workers, and you really hit a hot button with me. Let us not forget that school teachers have never, not now, or have they ever been trained as neurologists, psychiatrists, child developmentalists, they're trained in curriculum and instruction. That's what their training is in. And according to Dr. Bauman, Dr. Fred Bauman, about 98% of all referrals for psychiatric evaluation comes directly from the United States public school system. So the referrals are coming from people with no training in this area. And don't get me started on daycare workers, because they don't even need to have a high school diploma. And they're the ones referring children. What are we doing? But yes, you hit it right on the head. Here's the bottom line. Boys are different than girls. Neurologically, hormonally, they're different psychologically, socially, cognitively. I mean, they're different in every single way. They input different. They output different. They problem solve different. They react to violence different. The fight-flight responses, they're just different in every single way. But when we have teachers not being trained in these theories, I'm talking about bioevolutionary theory, which we have empirical facts to back. We can actually do MRIs and CAT scans, PET scans. We can see that, statistically speaking, males have different brains than females. Everyone's, no, of course, there's always outliers. There's always outliers. But when you look statistically, males are different neurologically than females, and we're not teaching our teachers this basic fundamental postulate.
And of course, the teacher always wants to have control of the classroom, and she doesn't want boys to, she wants it to be them to be manageable for her benefit, not considering their makeup, their psychological makeup, but she wants them to be manageable for her benefit, correct?
Yes, but I think we have to give the teachers a break here, too, because when we keep loading more and more kids in our public systems, you know, mm-hmm. 5 second graders, 52 third graders, I mean, that's a lot of, you know, I taught in early childhood education for about 13 years, and I know when they start overloading teachers what that feels like, so... Mm-hmm. I get it, that you do want children sedentary. You don't want children running amok. I understand that. But it's still not a problem with the child. It's a problem with the environment that we've created for our children. There's your problem.
Yes, the money seems to be going elsewhere because, as you say, the class size, the classroom size is much larger. That's terrible. 52 people, 52 students in a classroom. It's horrible.
And we've got to talk about a dirty little secret in this country. A lot of people don't like it that I talk about this and that I publish this kind of research, but it's just factual. Since 1991, with the amendment to the American with Disabilities Act.
Oh, yes.
We now cover children who have non-physical disabilities, such as ADHD or conduct or autism spectrum disorder. So the schools have an economic incentive to label as many children as possible because their schools, their individual schools, receive money on the backs of these children. And I believe this wholeheartedly. I don't think parents know this. I don't think when they get the call from the teacher, you know, Johnny's acting up, we need to have a talk, blah, blah, blah. I think they think they're going in to talk to Mrs. Brown. And instead, they find themselves with all kinds of counselors and, you know, the school teachers are there and everybody's there and this room is full of people and you feel so intimidated, oh, my God. And then they say something like, in order to meet your child's needs, we're going to have to formally assess them so they can get the help that they need. And most parents sign the paper and say, yes, assess them. Well, as soon as you sign that paper, that school has the authority to assess them for any behavioral and or learning disability they can. And once the official label is affixed, and that has to occur with an MD, then with the psychiatric disorder or the learning, with the behavioral disorder, the psychiatric disorder has to be an MD. Now, the school can do the learning disability themselves, but once those labels are affixed, then the school starts receiving money under the American with Disabilities Act. It's a cash cow, and it's a big cash cow.
Yes.
And 90% of those special education students are male. Don't let us forget that. These are all little boys.
Yes.
Only about 10% of SPED kids are girls. Now, can you imagine if this was flip opposite? If 90% of our special education kids in this country were female, the feminist groups would be lining the streets, as they should be, saying assessments must be wrong. This is targeting little girls. But since it's little boys, no one makes a peep. No one's in the streets.
How true. I never thought of that. But that is correct.
It is correct, because it's little boys, silent and quiet.
Now, there are a lot of people. Well, no, I'm not going to say a lot. There are some people who seem to believe that Sandy Hook and maybe even Columbine didn't really happen the way that the official report said that it did, that it was some sort of a drill and that nobody died. And that is so ridiculous. If you look at the facts in both situations, if you look at all of the reports, if you read all of the documentation, if you consider all of the people that were involved in discovery and in the investigation, in the photos, everything that they did, especially during Sandy Hook. Yes, it did happen. And it happened for the exact reason that you're talking about.
It did happen. And to me, it's preposterous that anyone started these types of conspiracy theories. There were real children in those coffins. There were dead children. There are still grieving parents. This is not a joke.
No, it isn't.
This is happening in our country, and we've got to do something about it. But all this time that this has been going on, since April of 1999, not one time, have I heard a lawmaker bring up psychiatric drugs. Not one time.
You're right. Not a single one of them has done that. And why not? Because they're in Big Pharma's pocket.
Oh, this is big money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. It's billions. I think that probably the pharmaceutical industry is the biggest industry in the United States.
It's the biggest industry in the world. Nothing can touch it. Nothing can touch it. And did you know that 80% of all psychiatric drugs produced worldwide are prescribed to Americans? Think about that. We make up 5% of the world's population. 5%. And we take 80% of the psychiatric drugs. Something's wrong with this picture.
Well, when you look at the advertisements, 97% of all advertising in the media is for drugs.
Yeah, I had a student ask me the other day, Dr. Stolzer, can you tell me why it is that the pharmaceutical companies' advertisements on TV last 3 or 4 minutes and the ones for Subway last 20 seconds? And I say, what? Why do you think that is? Think about it. Why is that? She thought for a minute and said, oh, my God, it costs money and they have a lot of money. And I said, that's exactly what it is.
Right.
But if you listen to those commercials, and I really urge your viewers to just do this tonight or tomorrow, because all of us like to watch TV. It's pretty much a waste of time, but we all do it. When we're watching TV, watch very, very closely the advertisements for psychiatric drugs. It'll say something like, it may be related to a chemical imbalance. It ought
to
be.
Okay, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest the first hour today is Dr. Gene Stolzer. That's S-T-O-L-Z-E-R. And we were talking about television, about the commercials, and about the drug industry. And there's one commercial on TV for Chantix, and it is the number one violence-inducing drug on the list. And this is supposed to be an anti-smoking medication, and it's 18... Go ahead.
I was just laughing because it just blows my mind. I understand addiction to cigarettes. I really do. But to take a drug that causes suicide and homicide and violent psychosis, what are you talking about? I mean, how did we get to this place? Kicking any drug is tough, an addictive drug. It's tough. And as research shows, cold turkey is the best way with cigarettes. That's exactly what it shows. But again, the pharmaceutical company is selling their wares, and we're buying them.
Sure. Go ahead. Well, most of the SSRIs are linked with suicidality and the things that you talked about, and other things. I have a friend that was on Prozac. She could never get off of it, and she developed Bell's palsy. And she just got up one morning, and the whole side of her face was just set. It does more than that. It causes birth defects. It causes all kinds of things. It's not just...
It's absolutely amazing that we're still doing this. I urge your listeners to please read the inserts of these drugs. When you look at these side effects, oops, I just broke a cardinal rule of my own. These are not side effects.
These are effects.
They're effects, period. But when you start looking at, you know, effects of drugs used to be, you know, if you took, a headache medicine, you could get dizzy or throw up or have diarrhea. We know those side effects. We know those effects of drugs. But when you start talking about social apathy and suicide and homicide and hallucinations and hearing voices, I mean, what are we doing to the human brain? And I have a real problem when we're doing this with children. Their brains are still developing.
Right.
These are very dangerous and addictive drugs, and most people don't know that. Most people really don't know that, like your friend on the Prozac. Did anybody tell her when they were prescribing her this? This is going to be hell coming off of, and most people can't do it. So you'll be a lifetime customer.
And that's the whole point of addictive drugs, is that you will not be able to get off of them, and you will be a lifetime customer, repeat customer.
Absolutely, you will. And it's legal. You won't go to jail. And with regard to the birth defects, you brought that up, and I want to talk a minute about that because I actually published a paper, and I believe that was in 2008, but it could have been 2009, and it was a meta-analysis, and what it did was analyzed what psychiatric drugs do to pregnant and or nursing women. And I mean, the data was just explosive. Heart defects, cleft palate, death. I mean, it was the most crazy birth defects, so I published this paper. It's out there. It's published in medical journals. So what's happened since 2009? You would think, since that paper's out there and published, that for pregnant women and or nursing women, that these prescriptions and psychiatric drugs would go down. What's happened? Just exactly the opposite. They've increased exponentially across our country. So one of two things is occurring. Number one, the physicians haven't read the medical literature and they don't know this. Or two, they do know it and they're prescribing them anyway. And either way, we have a very serious problem on our hands.
Well, the other thing too is that a lot of the education that the doctors are getting come right from the pharmaceutical companies.
Yes, and who is it coming from doctors, neurologists? No, it's coming from salespeople, from pharmaceutical reps. These
right.
have no training in any type of pharmacology or neurology. These are salespeople.
Right.
And people wonder why, you know, the commercials are saying, come in and get your free packets of Prozac or Cymbalta. Why would they
sure.
do that?
To get you hooked. Okay, we're going to a three-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A plus. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest this first hour today is Dr. Gene Stolzer. And you were talking about pharmaceutical reps, and they are actually encouraged to, well, they do. They offer big perks to doctors, anywhere from trips, free trips, to lunches, spa treatments, any kind of thing that they can do to get the doctor kind of on their side.
And we also have to look at, it's going to take a very moral physician. When you know if you prescribe this particular drug, you've got a paying patient. I mean, if it's a three-year-old, you've got a paying patient for the next 85 years. So you would have to be extraordinarily moral to talk to them about other ways to alleviate problems rather than just prescribing them these highly addictive drugs. So, you know, it's we're in a quandary, that's for sure. But before I forget, I would like to talk a minute, just a second, about CCHR, the Citizens Commission on Human Rights.
Yes, please do.
I think it's such an important, important resource. I found it as a researcher. What I like about it is that it's research-based. See, because I don't need anybody's opinions or thoughts. I mean, it's nice, but as a researcher, I need facts, and I need cited facts. But I do know that for parents and, you know, just concerned others, even clinicians and teachers, anybody who cares about the psychiatric drug epidemic, this is just a wonderful resource. You can just go to CCHR, just Google it, stands for Citizens Commission on Human Rights. And, I mean, it is an invaluable resource. if you're interested in this. So I just wanted to say that.
Well, thank you. And we have talked about that organization often on this program because they do have such great resources. And I've interviewed a lot of people associated with that organization. And they put out so many wonderful videos and so much information and alerts, especially lately about the electroshock therapy.
Head
oh
back.
My gosh, how could anybody possibly do that to their children?
My opinion is that we've lost our perspective. We have bought into this theory that physicians are gods, and when they tell us something, we just give them total power over our body. What we should be doing is looking at the published research. What are the pros? What are the cons? And making informed and educated empirical decisions. We don't just take a pill because somebody told us to, or let our brains get shocked into submission because somebody told us to. Research this stuff and make your informed decision. Become proactive. Take your power back.
Certainly.
I think what really drives me crazy about this whole debate, and when I do paper presentations, when I talk about this, you can just see people's mouths drop open because they know that I'm lying, but then when they look into it, it's the truth. All of these psychiatric illnesses, from ADHD to bipolar to depression to anxiety, they're all voted into existence by voting members of the American Psychiatric Association. They vote them in. And so, of course, if they can vote them in, they can vote them out. And they do vote things out. They voted homosexuality out in 1978. So for me, as a scientist, things that you can vote in and out of existence, these are legitimate, valid diseases? Are you kidding me? You don't vote in or out leukemia or diabetes because there are markers that show that you have diabetes. It's insane that we have bought this hook, line, and sinker. Now, hear me well on this, because I think some people are thinking that I'm saying that depression doesn't exist or anxiety doesn't exist. Of course that exists. The sadness and hopelessness and panicking and self-loathing and guilt and anxiety, all of this stuff exists. And it has existed since the dawn of human civilization. How we used to deal with these foibles of being human is with God and with family. That's how we got through this. We talked it through. We had people listen to us and love us and say, we're here. We're going to be here for you. And somehow we got through it. Now, some of us didn't get through it. That's true. We've always had suicide. We always have on every place on this planet. But the fact of the matter is, since we've started treating human suffering, human emotional suffering with psychiatric drugs, our suicide rates have tripled. So if we want people to stop killing themselves, it's very clear we've got to quit prescribing drugs that increase suicide.
And of course, the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Illnesses, has increased, or disorders, mental disorders. The size of that book has, it used to be, what, 122 pages, and now it's something like 600 or 700 pages.
Well, because they keep voting in and voting in and voting in and voting in all these new disorders. What do we have now? Computer addiction, obesity, and bereavement. Yes. If your mother dies and you cry too much, you have a psychiatric illness. This is absolutely ridiculous. But they're going to identify bereavement disorder the same way they identify ADHD or depression. They don't do an MRI or a CAT scan or a PET scan. They don't take your blood. They don't do a urinalysis test. They don't do any of that. They ask you some questions. And if you answer in the affirmative to a particular set of questions, you have the disease. And right after you get the official diagnosis, here comes the treatment, and it's a drug, or two, or five, or seven.
And there's really no scientific way of measuring what some people refer to as a chemical imbalance. There's no way to determine that.
I am so very glad you brought that up. Once we get the word out, the scientific word out on the chemical imbalance hypothesis, we're going to turn this tide. Here's the bottom line. It has been perpetuated and perpetuated and perpetuated by the pharmaceutical industry, by the medical community, by all of those with an economic interest in drugging and labeling humans, that there's a chemical imbalance in your brain. Chemical imbalance in the brain. You need this drug to get the chemical imbalance balanced out. Here's the fact of the matter. Any of your listeners, call your doctor Monday morning and say you want to get the neurotransmitters, i.e. the chemicals in your brain, checked on Tuesday. It will laugh at you. There's no way in a living person that we can check the neurotransmitter balance in your brain. So here's my thought. If you can't measure something, how could you possibly know if it was imbalanced? And the answer is, and unequivocally, you can't.
Right.
So when somebody tells you you have a chemical imbalance or that your little boy has a chemical imbalance, look them dead in the eye and say, prove it.
Right. when you mentioned about bereavement, when my mother passed away, I just happened to mention it to my doctor. And she said, oh, do you need something for it?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know what she was talking about. And I said, well, of course. She explained. I said, well, of course not. This is temporary. I'm sad because she passed away. It'll pass. So they're really kind of, or at least she was really kind of looking for a way to medicate me.
Staying patient.
Sure. Yes.
And you know, I think you've just hit on something else incredibly important. What we've done, and we've done a really stellar job, is we've medicalized the whole human condition. Really,
yes.
We have. We did it with children. Well, we did it with infants. We did it with children. We do it with the elderly. We do it with menopausal women. We do it with the grieving. Any human experience that you can have is now medicalized. You have an illness. It's a chemical imbalance. Of course you're supposed to be sad and horrifically traumatized by the death of a loved one. If you're not, something's terribly wrong with you.
Right. And it's true. They have medicalized every emotion that we could possibly have about anything and want to give us something to treat it.
And here's the bottom line. And it's just a fact. You cannot cure emotional suffering with a drug. You cannot. You can blunt symptoms. Absolutely. But you can do that with Jack Daniels, too. You can blunt symptoms, but you're going to pay the price. So we might as well feel these terrible feelings, whether they're hopelessness or panic or anxiety, whatever they are, and figure out how to work through them so we don't have the repercussions of the addictions and the other effects that go with these drugs. Because this is part of our humanness. This is part of our evolutionary history. We do suffer emotionally. Little boys really are running, jumping, climbing, squirming, fidgeting machines. They are. It's who they're supposed to be. They're not supposed to be drugged out of their mind robots. So they'll sit on their butts for 9 hours a day. They're supposed to be running and jumping and climbing and driving you crazy with why? Why? When? Where? Can we?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like that, don't be around kids.
Exactly. The other thing, too, is that I thought about things like road rage and just the shootings. I live in the Chicago suburbs, and there's a lot of shooting and highway shootings, and many of them never get caught, where they'll just randomly shoot somebody. And I think, gosh, whenever I hear about this, I always say, I wonder what drug they're taking.
Yep. But have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard any explanation, you know, put forward that had anything to do with psychiatric drugs?
Never. Never.
Well, did you see what I just saw this on CNN right before you called, that these four young men were murdered in some...
Oh, right.
I want to look into this. This does not seem normal to me. I don't know this, and I'm probably putting myself out there by predicting this, but I'll bet you these killers were on some type of psychiatric drug. That's what my money's on it.
Sure. Sure. And you've mentioned in your work, the systematic correlation, about other, like the, excuse me, the Virginia Tech shooter, and everyone that you've mentioned, all of these major massacres, all of them, without exception, it's because they were on psychiatric drugs. But we never hear about the drugs that they're on. We never hear it in the mainstream media. They never talked about Adam Lanza being on any kind of psychiatric drug, ever.
There's a reason for that. There's a legal reason for that.
Oh,
we now
sure.
have laws where these records for psychiatric drugs are
yes.
sealed. They are
yes.
sealed. And what I mean by that, okay, if these, let's just use Adam Lanza, you brought him up. Had mm-hmm. he been on heroin, we would know it. Had he been on cocaine, reported. Had he been drunk on Jack Daniels, we know it. But when he's on Cymbalta, Prozac, Ritalin, we can't know it. It's sealed. And the only way we do know it is because family members have talked. For example, with Virginia Tech, the Virginia Tech shooter, his mother, just can you imagine her heart exploding with grief? This is her son. And she says to a reporter from the New York Times, we thought he was okay now on his medicine. And of course, the reporter jumped on it and said, what kind of medicine? And she's saying, she told, but that's the only way. We weren't going to get that from him. We can't go in anymore and get his records. We can have mothers or fathers tell us, but the records are sealed. Do you see how slick and clever the
sure.
pharmaceutical really is? We can't even know how many of these murders are perpetuated as a result of these drugs because the records are sealed. But we have places like CCHR that continue to investigate and do keep track and do keep empirical records.
Well, there was a Freedom of Information situation where the organization in Connecticut actually had a sit-down with a gentleman, let me just bring up some notes here, about the situation. It was Patrick B. Kwansi, and he said during this hearing that he said, it is harmful because then you can cause a lot of people to stop taking their medications. And he was referring to the release of vital information. In other words, if people find out that, for instance, what Adam Lanza was taking, then other people would stop taking their medications. Now, when you have a state health and human services organization, they are really very, very connected to Big Pharma and to the federal health and human services department. And so they have people who are in charge of promoting drugs. And so even though they filed a petition to try to figure out what drugs he was taking, they were not able to do that because, Patrick Kwansi kind of spilled the beans. He said, well, we can't tell you.
Exactly. And what we don't ever talk about is when people are experiencing depression or anxiety or they can't concentrate, there's other things that we can do to alleviate your problems besides getting you hooked on a very dangerous and addictive psychiatric drug. There are known things. I've actually published research. How can we help these people? And we know with depression, anxiety, bipolar, that talk therapy, support groups, being out in nature, in the sunlight, exercising, talking with friends, getting rid of friends who are our family members who are jerk-offs, those things help us. And we know they do, validation and belongingness. And they help us in the long term. They don't just mask symptoms like a drug does, but nobody is prescribing sunlight and, you know, getting out to a hospice and helping others or to a neonatal intensive care unit.
Oh,
and watch.
Yes.
That's what you've got to do, because really when we start talking about depression, what depression is at its core is hopelessness. So
right.
What is the cure? It is not Prozac. It's...
Okay, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Nutramedicals Power C Plus is the greatest important breakthrough in vitamin C technology since Linus Pauling. It is the only neutral pH vitamin C in the world as a calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium ascorbate salt with bioperin, a black pepper extract, to increase absorption by 40%. When you take Power C Plus, it helps to alkalinize all the cells of your body instantly, raise the oxygen level and energetic level of cells, suppress cancer and inflammation in your body, and help you fight infections. Power C Plus also helps to build up the collagen in your body, hyaluronic acid in your joints, and the glycosaminoglycans in your joints, as well as to improve healing of any tissue in your body. Power C Plus is very unique at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, where you can order, or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Alrighty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Dr. Jean Stolzer, and you were talking about support groups and getting out, putting your mind on somebody else's problems. Going out and doing a service project, I think, is the best way of getting your mind off your own troubles. You find that other people have similar issues, that you're not alone, and I think that's a really important thing.
Or you find that others have much bigger problems than your own,
right.
And you start turning your face toward gratitude, and you say, wow, it really could be so much worse. But to do these things, to heal ourselves, it takes time. I mean, it does take time, and it takes effort. We have to walk every day, and I don't mean on a treadmill at the gym. I mean walk every day out in God's beautiful earth with the sunlight in your face, or if it's cold, you walk the same way. But and you surround yourself by loving, validating people. You find some spiritual path. It doesn't have to be organized or anything. It doesn't even have to be typical. But you have to understand that there's something bigger than you. Talk therapy, we need nature, we need sunlight, we need exercise, we need friends and love, we need joy. We forgot about that. And we need to help others, as you said. You can't be concentrating on yourself when you're helping others. And did you know this? This is my new mantra for my life. I've just figured it out. You can't be anxious and grateful at the same time. You can't be depressed and grateful at the same time. So gratitude, just continually be thinking of all things that you have to be thankful for. And if you can hear my voice right now, there's one you can hear. You can walk. You can see. There's many things. If you have somebody or something you love, that's a gift.
Sure. Try to look at life with as a glass half full instead of half empty. And certainly get outside of yourself.
Before I forget, I want to talk about this too. There's something called the Sunshine Law. For any of your listeners that are interested, because you brought up that physicians can be taking money or perks from the pharmaceutical industry, the Sunshine Law made it so that any American can type in their physician's first and last name, their state, and they get immediately how much money their physician has taken last year from the pharmaceutical industry.
Yes, it's pretty enlightening. I've looked at that. Amazing.
I had my students do it last semester, and our lowest was $275 for the year, and our highest was $78,000.
Oh, my goodness.
That was our range.
The other thing, too, regarding talk therapy takes a physician at least an hour to sit and talk with someone, where it only takes 3 minutes to renew a prescription.
That's exactly
right.
Say,
how you doing?
That's exactly right. And here's the other thing that we don't like to talk about. Your insurance and my insurance will pay for all the Prozac you want to swallow, but mine will only pay for 3 sessions of talk therapy. Now, isn't that funny? How did those laws get enacted? That to talk it out, they won't pay for it, but for the drug companies, pharmaceutical intervention, they'll pay the whole deal.
Well, the insurance companies and Big Pharma and the AMA are working together. I guess that's how it happens. Well, thank you so very, very much. We need to do this again real soon.
Thank you so very much for having me.
All righty. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
For you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting 2 people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.